Good morning.
Good morning.
We hope we live up to the billing of a treat this morning. That you said there.
Yeah.
One, honor to be in this room with each of you. We love this church. We are going to share our story, and this chapter right now that we're in is a very sweet one for us as a family, and a lot of that has to do with this community right here. And so, thank you for letting us, whoever did the invite. It showed up on my calendar, and Susan said, show up, and we're going to share our story. And one disclaimer, ground rules. We had our son's 14th birthday, and we have been corralling 8 middle school boys for the last about 18 hours. So we're living on a little bit of sleep. So if we kind of step on each other and she has to jump in and cover parts of the story and I have to jump in, it's, you know, we're in that season of life right now, too, of running kids around everywhere. So it was a fascinating study in how much energy there is in 8 middle school boys. Yes. And then we just kept throwing donuts and sugar at them to see what would happen. So, again, Rod and Susan Riley, I think the easiest way to share our story is to start at the beginning. So we were not raised Church of Christ, either one of us. We were both raised in the Nazarene Church, actually born in the same hospital in Oklahoma, about 6 months apart, but did not know each other. So I'll kind of share that part of it. Susan's dad and her mother were in music ministry in the Church of the Nazarene, and he was a music minister at the church that I grew up in. So Susan was born in Oklahoma City. Her dad was there. She has an older brother. I have an older sister. But they moved from Oklahoma City to Nashville when Susan was 3. So somewhere we were together in the nursery, but we didn't know it, but there was, you know, definitely maybe a picture somewhere that nobody's ever found. I was raised in Oklahoma City, had a great family. My parents were fantastic parents and still are fantastic parents. Today's my dad's birthday. We had a very loving home, and church for me was 3 to 4 times a week. It was Wednesday night church, it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I had a key to the gym, and we were there all the time, and loved it. Or, yeah, I know, it was so fun. Great youth group. So when I got to, you know, think about chapters of our lives, you know, a big chapter is where do you go to college, and we're in that moment right now with our kids, our oldest at least, and I looked everywhere. I looked at Baylor University, a lot of places, and then just through a few twists of fate, ended up going to the Nazarene College that was in our hometown that I grew up in. So I had a fantastic experience there. Biggest part of it was the first day of college I met Susan. So we were together. I remember it. It was a wonderful day. Had this moment in time when we were 0 to 3 years old that we were in the same vicinity, but didn't really have we got to meet each other until the first day of college. My parents said, look out for Susan Van Hook. We know her family. They're great people, that kind of thing. So.
Well, and I got to piggyback off of that fun fact. So my dad was the minister of music at that church before I was born. He announced to the choir that they were pregnant with me. And his mom turned to his dad and said, hey, let's have another kid. 6 months later, right. So really, every argument I can trump and say, "Well, I'm the reason you're here."
Right. She does hold that over my head. We have some eerie, like it feels like an arranged relationship in that. One of the other ones, beyond just her being the reason I was born, was my grandmother, my great grandmother, made dolls. That was kind of one of her things that she did for the church. And she would make Raggedy Ann dolls for the girls and Raggedy Andy dolls for the boys. Susan's favorite doll growing up was the Raggedy Ann doll that my great-grandmother had made for her. So we put all that together after we started dating. We're like, wait a second, they wanted us to do this whole thing. So, so we met first day of college. We were really good friends. It was a small Christian college, and our class was 400 people, somewhere in that range. You kind of knew everybody. Susan and I both dated other people that didn't go to the college, so we ended up going to the events college together. We were in the same friend group. And then fast forward to our junior year, and we were like, hey, we're friends, and you're
I liked Bill a lot, I had to convince him to like me.
It's not true. Not true. So we started dating our junior year, and part of our relationship that I'm very grateful for, and I look at it through the lens of our kids too, is we had that time to just be friends. You know, we got to know each other really well, and we also got to work together, and that's been kind of a common thread from that point forward, is we were in student government, we got to plan parties and, you know, do all the things that you do in student government. And so we love that aspect of just creating things together. And so that happened in our friendship and then obviously moved into dating. So got engaged our senior year of college, you know, is the stereotype of a Christian college is supposed to be. Ended up then getting married right after we graduated from college. So I will turn it over to Susan. That's kind of the first, you know, part of our story, and yes, let her kind of take our 20s. So.
Well, and I'll tell you, Rod's the public speaker between us, but I am extremely humbled to be in this room with you guys. I look around, and there's a lot of people I don't know, but there are some that have been really instrumental just showing up. I'll start crying if I talk about it too much, but we'll tell you how we got here in a minute, but just know that you guys have meant a lot to us just watching your lives. Mm-hmm. And showing up on Wednesday nights for our son and our daughter when they were growing up, and us being able to say, there were times I told Jack about you, of just like the rainy nights, the cold nights. He didn't want to go to church, but you were there waiting for him in the Sunday school class. And what a blessing to be able to say that. And Lynn, many, many nights when I was in the women's group too, same thing, teach perseverance, teach discipline in their spiritual walk, and you were there. And I was able to say, both of you, and Jeannie too, of just showing up. And I mean, there's multiple. It's an honor to be here. And I really wish the tables were turned and we were hearing your stories, because that's really, we get such richness from just watching you, not to mention getting to spend time with you, but it's, we use those moments to teach our kids often. So anyway, back to our story. Where were we again?
Graduated college. The whole world's our oyster.
Yes,
what are
yes,
we going to do?
So he was a pre-med major, and I was journalism. We didn't know what to do with our lives. I had grown up in an entrepreneurial family. We'd worked together and really enjoyed that aspect of our relationship. And went to my dad in college and just said, hey, could we come to Nashville and just teach us how to run a small business? We thought we might sell donuts. We didn't have a clue what we were going to do. That was just the only thing. We liked donuts. And so maybe we could do that. I don't know. And so... So he let us come to Nashville, and he had a business called Provident Music Group. It's a Christian music company. And so we learned, we got to work there in different departments and really, really learned a lot. We were not the quintessential music business people. We have never been cool, and everyone that goes in the music industry is cool or wants to be cool or dresses like they're cool. Never could claim to be that way. Over time, though, we learned our giftings are different, and fortunately, I think we knew it a little bit in college, but nothing like we did as we were growing older, how they go together. And what a blessing that's been, and to allow us to do business together. So through that, we kind of felt called to start a Christian record label. I made less money than Rod did, so I got to start it. But we would do it on the weekends, and evenings. Every night we'd, you know, quit work at 5. From 5 to midnight we worked on this, and then start over again. Really learned perseverance, grit, all that. And then over time I was able to afford to go, okay, maybe I can get off at 3, and then we'll work on that, you know. And so we would always, my dad taught us to overlap businesses, so that you are making money, but while you're starting something new. So that was wonderful. My dad was the CEO of that company, but we didn't see him a whole lot. But we still got watching his lifestyle, every now and then getting some advice from him. But we started this Christian record label. We would sign one new artist a year. It's called Fervent Records. We really, because we weren't the cool Christian or music people, we were very much the normal, regular ear. So we learned he was much more operational and finances and marketing, and I was the one that would go find the artist and sign him. do the contract and sit on their doorstep until they signed with us. And so our first act that we signed was a band called By the Tree. They were out of Texas, and that was the hardest one to find because I've got this high-pitched voice, and I'm like, hey, you want to sign with us at a record label? I'm 24 years old and I have no experience. Does that sound fun? So that was the hardest one to get. And then we went to a band called Big Daddy Weave. I don't know if y'all listen to Christian music much, but yeah, they were amazing, and they kind of opened the door for us with radio and kind of knocked it over. But, I mean, there's all kinds of fun stories. I guess we have a little bit of time to talk, but with them, talking about our faith stories, they turned me down. I called them 15 times before they called me back because they didn't take it seriously because I'm this young girl trying to say what I just said, you know. And they finally called back, and we courted them for a while, and I said, hey, what if, can we change the name? Because I've always hated that name. And they said, either you sign us with the name or you don't sign us. And I was like, I love this name, Big Daddy Weave. Yeah, right. That's my favorite name. And so it's been confusing over their career, but they wanted it. And so a lot of cool God stories. We learned, too, early on when we do a contract to make it what's important to that artist, and we'll build the contract around you, knowing that we're going to have to give and take in some other areas, and they're going to have to give and take. But so each artist was different in what mattered to them. And so Mike Weaver, the head of it, just sitting in our office one day and just, let's just do the contract together. And so we just did that. As time went by, lawyers get involved, and it gets messier and more corporate. But it was just really sweet during that time to kind of build it from the ground up. We had zero money. And so when the artists would come in town, they would live at our house, and we'd go live with my parents. So they were sweet to really trust us and build it together. And back to, sorry, I'm all over the place. One of the main things that we learned in college was servanthood leadership. That's something that they really poured into us in our SGA, student government world. So we were able to start that process and worked beside them and served them as best we could. And likewise, it was a beautiful thing. So the next artist we signed was a Barlow Girl, which was a three sisters that were rock and rollers, and that really blew up for us. Super blessing that we had. Our very first artist was Mercy Me that we talked to.
Right.
It was between us and the art and the label that they were with. And we didn't get to sign them.
We didn't have a name for our label.
We didn't have a name.
We were like, we have an idea, and you have a song called I Can Only Imagine. Let's see if we can match those things up. Yeah, so it was a little, it was just the wrong timing, but they've been very good friends. They actually helped us sign Big Daddy Weave.
Yeah, so they've been supporters all along, really sweet guys. The real deal.
Yeah.
Then who else did we sign? After Barlow Girl was, I don't remember.
Probably Jill Phillips.
Yeah, I was in there too. And then around that time, do you want to tell them? I don't want to dominate.
Sure. No, well, and thinking about this class this morning too, and thinking of chapters, like the first two chapters get us up to, if you think in decades, by the way, we're about both of us to turn 50. So we're turning the corner there and thinking about what that looks like. So, you know, up to 20 was getting through school, and then really 20 to 30, which is what Susan's talking about. We had no kids, we had artists, and they lived at our house, like she shared, and they were, you know, like kids.
And drove our cars, our beat up cars, they drive those on promo tours, so we couldn't afford to rent one. So it was very much limited. Oh, and one thing I gotta brag on Brad, I wanted to make sure I said about him. Every marriage is different. I really respect him a lot, and I'm really grateful. I think that's been super helpful, and I love him too. But that's been really a part of our relationship through our careers, and he'll tell you more about it. But we've switched who's gotten the glory, and that's really hard. I got the glory even more during that time because I was running. Again, the only reason I started running it is because I made less money than he did, so he was supporting us and then working with me in the evenings and weekends, but was okay with me being the face. Then it switched, and he'll tell you about that, and now it's back to me being the face again, and that's rare. That's really, really rare. So that's another thing that's really been sweet about our story. I'm very grateful.
I love you, too. Susan's good at deflecting. She was fantastic as a what's called A&R. So in the music business, it all begins with a song, it all begins with an artist. And finding that song and finding that artist is, there is no formula, it is very hard to do. She has a fantastic, what they call, ear. She can find a song and find an artist. And that was the success of the music, the label that we were involved with, was really centered around that. And her, she jokes, but she is persistent to the nth degree. So when she found something she wanted, it was, there was nothing stopping her to like get that artist signed. So which is a skill. So our 20s again were just pouring into that. We worked long hours, but it did not feel like work. I'm very grateful that we had that season, you know, of just we really felt like we were in our strengths. And it's like, you know, if you look at a at the airport where you've got those moving sidewalks, and when you're on a moving sidewalk, you're just going faster, but you're doing the same amount of energy. It felt like that. Everything was moving very quickly for us. In that quick moving and building a business, and it was getting bigger and bigger, one of the things that I think we started to recognize was, like she said, at the beginning it was, well, let's do a contract and sit in the office and do it. As the zeros got bigger behind every decision, a lot more complexities came in, lawyers, everything else like that around that. And so I could see that weighing on Susan. And so we started to look at, well, do we need a different partner to come in to help us out with the record label? At that point, we had 3 employees, of which one of them ended up marrying the lead singer for Big Daddy Weave. 2 of the others got married to each other. I mean, it was like the family all the way through. And we were all about the same age. So we were doing a lot with a very small, scrappy team, and having a lot of momentum where we were like, well, maybe there's we either double down and double, triple our team, or we find a partner in this. And so at the end of our 20s, that was when we started to explore, do we sell the company at that point? And God's hand was in that as well. We ended up meeting a guy named Mike Kerb. So if you see, Kerb's name is on a lot of things here in town. And he was a part owner of a company called Word Entertainment. So Word is, if you know anything about Christian music, it's been around 60 plus years. He wanted to meet with us as we were starting this process, and we went to his house, and he had a stack of every CD that we'd ever released, and he had listened to every song of every CD and wanted to talk about the bridge on song number 8. We're like, oh, he's been paying attention. Again, he was just said, I want you guys to keep doing what you're doing and help me with what is happening at Word. And so Word, again, very storied label, but it was in a tough moment at that point. And so so that ended up, over about a year and a half, we ended up selling the company to Warner Music Group, which was the majority owner of Word. Mike, you know, kind of set up that connection there. And at the age of 30, we jumped into Word and said, now what are we going to do? I think the culture of what we had was something really important to us. We wanted to make sure that we were able to keep pouring into the artists the way we had, keep pouring into our team the way we had. And to Warner's credit, they let us continue to do that. They said, here's a blank sheet of paper. You can take all this catalog, Amy Grant, everything else that was under there, and you guys do it your way. And so we were able to, you know, kind of take that company and start to do new things with it. We got into all these different businesses with that. The relief on Susan, back to the weight. Our 20s were great to build, but I think the relief I saw in her when it was, oh, now it's not our house that's mortgaged for this whole thing. Like, we're able to now, you know, be freed up on the, like, any mistake is not going to reset us back to zero in this whole thing was confirmation to me that it was the right thing. Not only did the way they treated artists or employees, but the relief I saw in her. So 30s, we jumped into Word, and then we started having babies. We were at Word about a year and a half when our first child was born, Anna, who is now almost 18. So we are looking at colleges, and it's crazy.
Back to Word, sorry. He did start like a merch company, a booking company, all these kind of things. Cause during that time, the sales were changing in the way that music was consumed. And so things were just really changing a lot. So he did start a bunch of companies within that. Other artists that we signed, Francesca Battistelli, Group One Crew, he signed for King and Country. I don't know if you know of any of these artists. We got to work with, talking about the heritage that we were handed. Point of Grace, those kind of artists were really fun to work with, and just I was so dorky around them.
We got to work with like
such a fan.
We got to work with like Diamond Rio, you know, and it's just like, oh, I'm so excited.
I was so girmy, yes.
Susan gets excited about country more than anything. We saw Alabama one time. She's like, oh, there's the Alabama.
Oh, yeah,
speaks
to us. Yeah,
that was fun. Randy Travis, a bunch of those different artists were there. And it was fun. I mean,
it was so much fun.
Yeah, the music business is infectious. You kind of get around it and you get kind of pulled in. And I will say this about the music as a whole and part of the thing about our story that we've, you know, been able to be part of something much bigger than ourselves. And and music is this fascinating, I'm not musical at all. Had you asked me when I was 20, list 1,000 things you may do, the music business would not have been in the first 1,000. I don't know if it would have been in the first, I don't even know it existed. I knew there was music came out of the radio. I don't know how it happened. And I think you guys all know this. I think this at one point this was called My Story, My Song. Is that right?
Yeah.
This, the power of a song, you know, I think, you know, go back to the Psalms and look at how God has used music throughout history. There's something magical about it. If you read me something, I may be able to tell you what you read me. But if it's sung and put to, you know, the right, you know, track behind it, 20 years later, I can finish the lyric for you. And I think that we got a lot of glimpses of how God used music to impact lives. And
that was amazing.
It really was.
And we were so young, too. We just prayed for wisdom for that day. We knew that we were too young to be doing what we were doing at the time. And prayed for wisdom beyond our years. And he provided it and provided the answers beyond what we could have done. And so that was beautiful during that time. And getting to sit, and I could talk all day about music, but getting to sit in the studio and watching the songs come together and pushing some of the writers who didn't want to co-write, and they finally did, and what came out of that, or if they... And sometimes it wasn't pretty. Sometimes they'd say, well, my song's the best song that's ever been written, and God told me it was great, and it's like not good at all. So how do you hear God on that, but then also help run a business? And so... So that was fun. But it was really, really amazing. There's stories behind so many of the songs that came out and still are all the time. And, my mom, going back to my history too, sorry to interrupt, but, I grew up in Brentwood, but went to a Nazarene church out near Opryland. That's where I grew up. So I knew some people of my age that grew up here, but we didn't go to church in town. So there wasn't a Nazarene church close by at that time. Then met him. Where was I going with this story? I'm so sorry. It had to do with music, and I totally forgot.
Something about your mom.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so much. My dad is still alive, and he lives with us now, and that's been amazing. He just moved in January. He's so sweet. My mom was bipolar growing up, so we didn't know what bipolar was, but it was just so it was a lot to live with. Christian music, and my dad. Got me through some of that, and I mean, he had to deal with a lot more than I did, but being the daughter of that, it was confusing a lot of times and hard, and that's where I really grew my faith. I had to. Our kids have not gone through some of that stuff that I went through, and that worries me a little bit, and I know that that's where God was my only saving grace, you know. And I'm thankful for that. I'm really thankful, and for Christian music during that time. So I think that's why it was even sweeter that we got to be a part of Christian music, to provide that for the kids. And at the time, our heart was really for the kids, the 13 to 14-year-olds, when we started Fervent, that if you can get them for Jesus, then you got them, you know. But anyway. Yeah. Sorry, a little God stuff in there for you.
Our 30s, just again, thinking of these chapters. We got to Word. We got this great opportunity to take what we had built and then inherit a lot of, just a lot of great things that Word had going on. And stayed there for about a decade, a little over. And during that time, did all those things of trying to transform the business and started having kids. Susan kept working. This was, 17 and a half years ago when we had our first. And I think she took about 2.5 hours off for the birth of Anna, and kept working through really our, I think, Jack being born, which was about 3 or 4 years later than that. And that's where I think she had that tension of how does she stay involved with something she's passionate about, but be what she's called to be as a mom. And so she started to work more from home, started her own publishing company at that point, signing songwriters and the like, while I was working at Word. And so we still worked together, but it was different in that phase. I was working more on the family side of things and then some of what she was doing there. Fast forward to this chapter. What's that?
Well, and how we got here.
Yeah, so Jack, how we got here.
We were on a waiting list for Anna,
yes.
For the preschool here for 4 years.
Oh,
did not get in.
Did not get in, yes.
And then Miss Pat took a meeting with us for Jack. And so that brought us in here. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. So Jack was Jack was our entry point. And he came here. I'll tell you this brief story. Again, we were not raised Church of Christ, knew very little about the Church of Christ, just knew there was a lot of Church of Christ people in Nashville because of Lipscomb and everything else like that. And there was an ongoing joke whenever Susan would come home and say, I met the nicest people. It began with, I met the nicest people, and they go to this Church of Christ church, or they go to this. So I just started, as soon as she'd say, I met the nicest people, I go, I bet they're Church of Christ.
From all the different churches in town. It was
crazy. It was, you know, it was definitely, those relationships were put in our path for a reason. And so our journey of finding a church here when we moved back from college, the church that Susan had gone to had a little bit of a bringing up. So we didn't really have a home church when we moved here in the late 90s. We went to the downtown First Church of the Nazarene, but we were living out in Franklin, and it was hard to build community because people would be living, you know, north of Nashville, and so you're an hour away from each other. So we went there for a few years, went to the People's Church out in Franklin before we ended up at Brentwood Baptist. So before this, we were at Brentwood Baptist, but it was just hard for us to find our lane there. It's a fairly large church, that kind of thing. And so how we got here was the preschool and us going, these people are who we want to learn more about and be more like. And so, again, as I said at the beginning, it's a very sweet season now. We've been here 7-8 years?
I can't ever remember,
yeah.
But it's been a while.
Well, there's a pandemic in there.
Yeah.
It's hard to like figure out how time works with a pandemic. Probably 8-ish years, somewhere in that range.
But we are watching the clock here, too, and I know we got to probably wrap up some. It's been amazing. It's been unbelievable here, and we've grown so much. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Where were you in the story? 30s. Yes.
Chick-fil-A. Let's get to Chick-fil-A. Intro was Chick-fil-A. So we've done the opposite of what most people do in Nashville. Most people move to Nashville, work in food service to try to get in the music business. We worked in the music business to get in and got into food service. We went from a waiter to an artist. We went from, you know, working an artist to, you know, refreshing people's beverages.
And we were just out to dinner with a friend. I had taken some time off from Word. And I was just consulting at the time, and we love learning about investments and being good stewards of whatever money that we have. And so we were talking to our friend who was a general manager at another Chick-fil-A, and he said, you should apply for a Chick-fil-A. And I said, what are you talking about? He had a full-time job. He was running Word at the time, huge job. And so, again, because of that, I just said, well, I guess apply. I don't really know. I'll just to learn, because I knew I couldn't get one. He had run Word, and that was that whole shift of power thing again. He was the face of Word. It was a big, big job, and he did a fantastic job with that. All kinds of interesting people he got to work with, and a lot of God work that happened during those years. And I was at home with the kids, so that was a change. Then we start doing this, knowing that we wouldn't get the Chick-fil-A, because at the year that we applied, they'll only take one person from your marriage. And so that's, again, why I did it. 80,000 people applied for 100 positions nationwide. And within those 100 positions, 60% came from within. So we had heard similar numbers, and we knew we wouldn't get it. So I just wanted to learn about it. So I filled out the application halfway. He walked by and filled out the rest and did a much better job than I would have done. And that started interviews for us. Again, every time we had an interview, I knew I'd get dropped the next time, so I just had fun with it, not knowing if I didn't think I wanted to sell chicken. I had no idea. Like, I'm like, we sell chicken. That's so weird. And so they kept going, and it was 18 months of interviews. Sometimes people are doing it for 9 years of interviews. It's all across the board. It takes a long time to get. We didn't know. We kind of just fumbled into it. Not really. It was God's plan, too, but... one Chick-fil-A opened up in this area, and that was that one in Melrose. It was a drive-thru only. There's no other drive-thru only in Tennessee. So it's a different animal. It's a different thing. We're still learning all the time. It was rough when we first got it. But all this to say, we had interviews together at the end, and they gave it to us, and we said, oh, wow.
Yeah, now what are we going to do?
This is something. I didn't know this was happening. So he changed his job, and you can tell him about what you're doing too, but so that I could do that. And it was 18 months of really hard, because I had never worked with any of that kind of world before. It was right before COVID, and Nashville was growing so much that it was hard to keep people. So people would just come to work and then walk off the job, and I didn't know what that was about. And we had high volume from day one. So our first year and a half was, if you came to our store, I apologize. It was not a good experience, I'm sure. Now it's 5 years, and May 22nd will be 5 years, and it's just been unbelievable. A great, great, great thing. It's nice to go 15 minutes away and be out of the Brentwood bubble and love on those people. And we love the staff. I have learned so much from them and are humbled by their lives. They've had it harder a lot of times, people that I get to work with, and show up to work. We just learned a lot about God, about the world, and it's just been fantastic. But Rod's still in the music industry.
Well, and I'll say one thing on Chick-fil-A. The Kathy family, if you know anything about Chick-fil-A, and they are everything that you think they are and more. We were fans from the outside looking in. It is unbelievable the commitment to excellence that they have, the team that they built. They support us to the nth degree. I've been blown away with the way that they're successful, and God's great blessings are on them, and they're doing so much with the stewarding what they Truett ultimately started in there. So we are very grateful for the Chick-fil-A family. I'm also grateful for, like Susan said, where we're located is more of a urban inner city Chick-fil-A than a out in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And the cross-section of team members that we have that are college kids, but we also have team members that ride the bus to work and have to help pay their rent at 16 years old. And for our kids to see what happens 7 miles away from our house, and to start to see that, you know, Brentwood is a bubble, but we were really prayed a lot about grit in our kids. We want them to have grit. Part of that seeing it in us, but also that part of that is hearing other people's stories. And there's some amazing stories of grit on our team. We have 120 employees at that Chick-fil-A, so it's pretty amazing what it takes to run a chicken restaurant. I stay in the music business. I work very flexibly with a private equity group. We buy things, and our kids. I feel like we covered a lot of career. Once again, Anna's almost 18. She's fantastic. We're in a sweet season with her too. She knows how much time's left on the clock before she goes to college, and she is very deliberate about coming up to us and like wants to spend time every morning together. Wants to spend, you know, like she's in a sweet, sweet moment right now. And then Jack is 14, and he is in an energetic moment right now. Multi-generational, I'll just say this too. I love sitting here with you all. This church does it right, of you, and it starts here with you guys pouring into our generation and the kids' generation around that. I think it's amazing. I had grandparents that lived within walking distance of my house, and it's something I'm very grateful for. And so Susan's dad moving in has been a huge blessing.
I think too with that too, I do see through his eyes a little bit. When he goes to a baseball game when Jack was younger or whatever, grandparents aren't looked at. He said sometimes no one talks to them at times. I see that through his. He's fine with that. But I hope you guys know, and I hope you're encouraged that we want to hear your stories. We want to know you guys better, and it's an honor to be here to talk to you guys and hopefully get to know you all even better. You have such richness, and I know at your age you don't feel appreciated sometimes, and I hope you feel appreciated this church, because you really, 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 really are, and admired, and it's an honor to get to, again, sorry I'm saying it again, but it's an honor to get to have y'all here and watch how you do life and your faith, so.
All right, that's us. We're almost 50. That's how far we've gotten. I don't know how much time we have left. They mentioned maybe doing questions and answers. We're happy to. It's 10:43.
Any
questions?
Your sweetness is very inspiring. Mm. The way you respect each other is beautiful.
Thank you for saying that.
Oh, thank you.
But what are you saying right now? It's a cycle.
Yeah.
You see what we do.
Yeah.
And I want to do that. I want to be part of that. As the message this morning, first service, there's a group of men out there helping elderly people, helping widows, things like that. It's who God wants us to be.
Yeah.
And he wants us to share what he's done with us, with others. And that's what teaching that Wednesday night class, what it's all about.
Yeah.
Sharing.
Oh, we're grateful.
After 60 years, you'll still be able to complete the lyrics.
Yeah.
That's great.
Are you still involved at all in music?
Yeah, so the private equity group that I'm involved with, basically we go in and buy kind of established intellectual property. So a lot of film libraries, but on the music side in town, like we bought Brad Paisley's company. So all of his songwriting, but also all the songwriters that he worked with as well. If you know anything about country, there's a guy named Ashley Gourley, who's a songwriter that is amazing, but he's not an artist. A lot of people don't know him, but he has 70 number one songs. We just partnered with him, bought his catalog, and are working on things going forward. But all I'm doing is I'm the music guy in the room for these financial guys to go, where do we spend our money? And so I'm not the publisher anymore. I have no employees. I am not an employee. I don't want to be an employee. I just help advise them and guide them a little bit. That's what I do from a, getting paid side of things. Volunteer-wise, I'm still on the Gospel Music Association board, so I'm still connected to that. I'm on the Museum of the Bible board. There's a lot of music kind of that comes into there as well. And then we have 27 years of relationships there. So we stay in touch with a lot of I get random phone calls from artists trying to figure out problems, and I can tell them what I think. So, yeah.
But it's in your heart. It's in your soul. I miss it. I miss the day-to-day, but I couldn't go to showcases at 10 o'clock, start at 10 o'clock at night, and then raise babies getting up at 5:30 or whatever. So, it's in your blood. It's in your blood. I hope I still remember the lyrics forever.
Yeah.
If anyone's below Atlanta any time, that Kathy tour shows the original store and his farm and all.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting thing to visit.
We're amazed. I mean, they just do everything with excellence and have so many businesses besides Chick-fil-A, too. And they run them with excellence, too.
They're big in care and growth. So they really challenge everybody to grow, read, and just continue to innovate. But the caring side of them is just through everything they do. Like, how do we care for guests? How do we care for the team members?
If you ever work for them, they pay you in coupons.
they do that. I think there was one more question over here.
I want to thank you for embodying that Kathy generosity and your time and your presentation. And I also, Susan, you just said heart and soul, and you guys have been so soulful. So thank you for that. And also, when you think of songs that really revolutionized your spirituality, can you guys think of any that are kind of near and dear to you as far as your growth?
You're so good every time you talk, Karen. I'm so glad she's speaking to you guys, because she's amazing. I'll say I will find a song that I like and live it and breathe it and play it 50 times. Right now it's Big Daddy Weave's My Story. This is my story, this is my song. Their version of it is amazing. Zach Williams has one with Dolly Parton. There is Jesus. Oh, I just, yes. Those are the two that I'm living with right at this moment. But, it changes every week. I'll listen to it 50 times and drink it in, and then I won't listen to it for another 2 months. So.
It's another Big Daddy Weave song, Redeemed by Big Daddy Weave.
So good.
If you don't know the Big Daddy Weave story, it was two brothers, Mike and Jay. Jay has passed away now. And to walk that journey with him, where he actually had to have his feet amputated because of complications with diabetes and ended up dying, and the timing of when that song... It's the song, and it's the story, the contextualization around it.
Yeah.
That
Redeemed is the name of it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So
did you say you got to work with Mercy Me on If I Can Only Imagine?
Well, they had already written it, but it was like an indie version. So I heard it before it was famous, and I got to know them before. We got to know them before it was famous, knowing that that was going to be just fantastic, but it didn't work out, and it shouldn't have, because we would have thought we were way too good at our jobs if we'd signed them as our first artist. We were humbled by not signing them, I think.
We heard the song, we were on a plane the next day to Dallas, and we had dinner with them that night, and we didn't have a record label. We had a, we want to start a record label, we want to start it with you kind of thing. And
at 24?
Yeah. And they actually said, great, we'll explore that. They were already in a place with the record label they're on now where they hadn't signed, but they put that on hold to kind of explore it. And then they came back a year later and said, we believe in you guys. We, you know, after they said no, we're like, we, you know, we could have seen, had it just been a few weeks earlier, we would have done it. And then they were like, how do we help you? And that's when she called Big Gay Weave 15 times, couldn't get a call back. And the rest of that story is Big Gay Weave actually turned us down. Bart from Mercy Me, the lead singer, called Mike and said, we would have done it if we were in your shoes. And that's how we signed Big Gay Weave. So, we had nothing to do with Ongoing Magic. If you watch the movie, there's a female A&R exec that is, I don't know, portrayed exactly right, but that was probably loosely based on Susan. So,
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Let's be friends. We're awful at remembering names, but we would love to keep talking to y'all. We see you in the hallways and whatever. We want to be friends with y'all.